Time now for tips for hardy gardeners. Our longtime host and all-around great guy, Tom Casper, joins us this morning. Howdy there, sunshine.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
So Maya comes in this morning, and she's waving her hands, and she's sputtering, and something about an evil rose bush, and cutting it back, and burning, and leaving just a little bit of it. And how do you know when you need to tip them? People bury them, don't they? How do you know? And then the hand-waving and the muttering continued, and whoosh, out the door she went. So I gather that the question we're asking is, when you move into a house, for example, and there are, like, rose bushes there, how do you know whether you need to tip them or bury them or whatever or not?
Well, that's a pretty good question, actually, on her part.
It was sort of a question. It was, a lot of muttering and hand-waving, but, yeah, there was a question in there somewhere.
I'm guessing you added a little drama to it.
No, but, not me.
No. Yes. So as, with regard to the rosebush, if you're moving in, and you may not really know, but if it's large and well-established and looks like multiple-year canes and growth on it, then more than likely it's a shrub rose and hardy for our northern climate, if it's, you know, that kind of size. Now, if it's a smaller one and looks a little bit more like it's just this year's growth, it potentially could be a tender rose or a bush rose, which was mainly what being grown down in the Leif Erikson Rose Garden. And those do have to be protected in the wintertime, either by the Minnesota tip method, which is, as you mentioned, people burying them, and you basically dig a trench next to that rose bush and tip it on its side, roots and all, and then cover it with soil and leaves, and leave it like that for the winter and then dig it out in the spring. Or you can also use a large volume of leaves around that rose, too, you know, bags of leaves or something like that and packing it around.
Now, do you have to cover up, like, the entire rose? Say the rose is, like, you know, I don't know, 2 feet tall, maybe. Do you have to, like, pile up 2 feet worth of leaves, or?
If it isn't hardy, yes, or more than likely it will die to that leaf level. So, and if it's a hybrid tea or a bush rose or tender rose, as long as you have some living tissue, it will come back. So, you know, it may die below that line where we put the leaves. But generally, we'll come back in the spring if you've protected it adequately enough. So
if you made, like, a little cage out of wire fence and filled it to the tippy-tippy top with, like, leaves or straw or something, would that protect it?
Yep. Cool. And that's another way to keep those leaves in, is to build you know, like a chicken wire circle around it and just pile leaves in it, preferably leaves over straw, just because they compress a little bit more and get around that straw might not fit quite as well.
There's a lot of air in straw.
Yeah, and straw is a great insulator, and we're certainly getting to the time of the year here in the next maybe 3 weeks to a month where you're going to want to put some straw and some other things in your garden, like maybe your perennials or your strawberries, stuff like that.
And around the base of your house.
Yeah. It's straw season.
Yes, it is indeed.
People are putting straw bales on for decoration. I'm taking them.
Stacking them up around the house.
You
betcha. Okay, so I learned something fascinating from you also last week about apples, that there is a potion I had read online. I think, as a matter of fact, at one of the gardening forums that you tipped me off to, that there is a potion that you can make. It involves Dawn dishwashing liquid and apple cider vinegar, I think, or something. And you hang it in the tree, your apple tree, and then the bugs come and they eat this stuff instead. And then they die. And then your apples become perfect. And you tip me off to something else that a person should be using, I'm gathering, in the spring, summer, when the apples start showing up.
Right, and what you're referring to and what a lot of people are seeing right now, if they're going out to harvest what looks like beautiful apples in their tree and they're getting the first apple down and they're all bumpy and have maybe some small wounds, but they definitely are disfigured. More than likely, they're dealing with an insect that's called apple tree maggot. Not a very nice name.
Oh, I'm so grossed out right now. Keep talking. Yeah.
And it's basically a fly that in the spring comes and lays its eggs on that apple just as it's forming. So it might be the size of a dime when the fly is around. And so the fly comes, lays its eggs on the surface of that apple, and as those eggs hatch, and the caterpillar or worm emerges, it burrows into that newly forming apple, and it spends quite a bit of its juvenile life inside of that apple, basically having no predators and nothing to worry about but eating fresh apple.
I'm sort of thinking that, although this is really disgusting, that being reincarnated as one of these apple maggots wouldn't be a bad gig.
No, not if you like fresh fruit.
And no predators.
And no predators, yeah.
You know, it's probably kind of dark and quiet. All right, so anyway, so yeah. Then they eat some of the apple, and then?
And then they emerge as adults and leave the apple. So you are not going to, if you do eat an apple that has had an apple maggot in it, you are not going to be eating the
maggot.
It is long gone, but it does do some disfiguring and some damaging to the flesh of the apple and so on.
Okay, so damage, disfigurement, but is there anything disgusting in there that you don't really want to eat?
Generally not.
Okay.
You can use those for, a lot of people will still use them for applesauce, apple butter, apple juice, cider, stuff like that. They still have good sugar content and they're still taste good in an application like that. Stop her, she's on fire.
I know. But there's a potion. There are potions that you can use in the spring. Tell us about the potions.
Well, the one you mentioned, apple cider and Dawn, actually you can put out in the tree, and what happens is it's sweet and it has the smell of apple a little bit, and the flies are drawn to that and actually get stuck in the Dawn and the solution and die generally in that. The other product that's been around a long time is a plastic red apple that you can hang in your tree and then place a product called Tanglefoot. It also works well for caterpillars trying to climb up your tree. It was very popular in Dutch elm disease control years ago. But so you put this sticky substance on the fake apple and put that in your tree, and those larvae are drawn to that because they see that as this big juicy apple to go raise their babies in. And the flies get stuck on that and die. There is a downside to those, though. It's all natural, but some people have reported that birds have gotten stuck in that apple or in that tanglefoot as well and have had some bird casualties. So folks are using that. They may want to look for it. There's a certain kind of apple where it actually has an interior of it, so you open it. And you can put the tanglefoot inside that where birds can't get to it, but the flies will still be able to get to it. So make sure that you get the certain kind of those that are safe for birds as well as effective for the control of that insect.
Or Laura Erickson's going to be coming after you, buddy.
That's right. And then the other thing, good practice when dealing, and if you're seeing that, is this fall, and now's the time to be doing that, is really good apple cleanup. Because the adults can overwinter, and they'll overwinter, and even in some of that leaf litter and those rotted apples and things like that are left on the ground. So good cleanup, good practice as far as controlling in the spring organically. There are some inorganic controls too, but those are things that I wouldn't recommend, and it should reduce your problem with unfit to eat apples significantly, almost overnight, basically, as far as from one year to the next. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Anything else gardeners ought to be thinking about right
well,
now?
Well, certainly, yeah, and we'll be talking about it in a couple of weeks, but now is the time to really start thinking about getting those spring blooming bulbs planted. So in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about how to plant tulips and daffodils correctly, because we're really just now rolling into that time of the season.
So basically, we'll run out and get some chicken wire, because you might need it for your roses, and you're definitely going to need it for the bulbs that you're going to plant.
Yep. Yeah, and we'll talk, too, about collecting seeds off of some of your favorite perennials.
Ooh, coolio!
Yeah.
And because there's got to be a way that you can collect some seeds, and you can still leave some for the birds to eat.
Exactly.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, TK, thanks a million, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Tom Casper is a master gardener, and he joins us every other Tuesday for tips for hardy gardeners at 820 right here on Northland Morning.